D1.
Number 22, B.
She says, I repeat it, declare I have a perfect liver. See, she reduced it even as far down to admit that we have a liver and that we have a perfect liver, and let the spiritual import of this declaration, I have the faintest idea what the spiritual import of this declaration is, destroy the false belief about liver. Well, naturally what she could see is that in that whole turmoil, where the whole field was waking up out of argumentation into the new way of treating, where they began to touch ideas, that in that whole turmoil she couldn't stretch the question, the proposition too far, and she had to give in and said, all right, just have first a belief in idea before you can understand the idea. Well, just declare for yourself you have a perfect liver and let the spiritual import of that, which is nothing else but a belief, a sense, oh, I have a perfect liver instead of an imperfect liver, that belief is much better than to have the wrong belief. And let that, the spiritual import of this declaration, destroy the false concept about liver. But she also told him at the same occasion, she said, you may declare I have a perfect liver, or there is no liver. See, seems to be the destruction, she said, provided the thought back of these declarations is right. And she goes on to say that she is allowed to treat a patient by declaring that he has no liver. Just that which she said Dr. Baker was teaching wrongly, to deny the existence of an organ. But she says, I'm allowed to do that. Why should she be allowed to do that? Because, she said, it depends on the thought behind it. And because Mrs. Eddy had that consciousness of absolute Christian science, and to a great extent that consciousness of divine science, in which there is no material body, but where she is consciously aware of the spiritual body of ideas, she could say that without harming somebody, but healing somebody. But if we don't yet have, just as that period didn't have, a consciousness of ideas, where the body of ideas is the reality of all things, if we don't have that, then if we deny a material body, we only deny something. And with a mentality which is not filled with something positive, namely the body of ideas. So Kimball came away from Mrs. Eddy and went into the classroom and taught the students the idea of which liver is a false concept is perfect. You see, the idea of which liver is a false concept is perfect in God. Or we have a perfect liver in God. But he didn't tell what the idea about which liver is a false concept is. He just said there is an idea. But he never told, and he never knew, what the idea about which liver is a false concept is perfect in God. He didn't know. He couldn't know, because it doesn't exist. But it was a method adapted to that age, and he says how that method was very successful. That his students went out and treated their patient on that level, and they are successful. Why? Because they were on that level of belief. But now they have exchanged the belief in argumentation into the belief of the existence of an idea. But what the idea is, nobody knew. Nobody knew for a long time. And you see that on every mental plane, any method is successful as long as it stays on the same mental plane. That's why way back, thousands and thousands of years back, magic could heal. Because in a magical consciousness, magic has an effect. And so today, where we are in a scientific age, only scientific methods will have an effect. At that time of the turn of the century, the people were still at that point where they believed now in the existence of ideas, without knowing what ideas were. So the question which was left open really was, what are ideas? And nobody taught that. I started by saying, what is Kimball's teaching? He said, the basis is that God is principle, and that principle must be understood through its ideas. Principle, idea. But he never taught what ideas are. He had a sense that ideas are good, that ideas are perfect, that ideas have power, that ideas act according to law, and so on. He had a certain sense. And each one of the Christian scientists had a certain flair of what ideas are or might be, but not more than that. And that's now why we can understand that John Dory said that when he came into that Christian Science movement, and that was at the time of Kimball, that really the thought of the movement was much more on the level of spiritual thought and not on idea. On the great sense that God is love, and that this love is expressed in loving thoughts. His reasoning, though he said, must be understood from principle, that principle expressed itself in ideas, the practical application was not that deductive way. The practical application was from the disease to idea. What organ is disease? What is the disease? And now what is the idea to which this disease hints to? And therefore was really material deduction, reasoning from matter to idea, and not really from principle to idea as we see it now. So ideas really, as we know, are born of spirit, as Mrs. Eddy says, and are not mere inferences drawn from material premises. Now, if we want to sum up that period, let's be clear that we don't fall into the same trap, that we make no inferences from material premises, that we don't go out from a sickness, from an organ, from a time situation, from the name of a problem. No inferences from material premises. This is one big lesson which we should really keep in mind, because reasoning in the science of mind, we start from mind, which must be understood through its ideas and can never be learned from its opposite, matter. Therefore, that period was really based on right material diagnosis. Because only if you could diagnose that this patient has a sick liver and not a sick gall, you could deal him properly, because you went out from the organ. But we know that material diagnosis is usually not correct, even if done by a medical man. If it's done by a layman like we are, we can be quite sure that they are, that diagnosis is wrong. There are today a number of 30,000 different diseases, and none of us who is here may perhaps know 10 or 20 of them, and cannot diagnose them properly. So we can see the whole method there is wrong on the basis that it tried to go out from material belief through reversion to arrive at the right idea. Anyway, treating an organ is anyway not healing, because a sick organ is the effect of a mental cause. And so even if we would treat the right organ, we wouldn't heal the situation. We can see that in modern medicine, that they also say, well, all what we do, we heal the body, but we never heal man, because we don't heal the mental cause that caused the disease of an organ. So all this healing was really healing the body and not man. And therefore one began to feel that something must be wrong in that way of treatment. So if we sum up that period of Kimball's, we can see that in spite that he was teaching something which today we could no more sign on the dotted line, just the same, they had success in healing, which makes us really realize that healing alone doesn't say anything about the quality of healing. Nothing at all. Medical people heal very efficiently. There are other so-called spiritual movements that heal very efficiently. So that doesn't give a proof of the quality of the principle lying behind such a healing. It was trying to rely on ideas, but because these ideas were not understood, were not clearly identified concepts of being, therefore we must consider those healing as faith healing. And it is that which troubled Mrs. Eddy most. One of the interesting thing is that this Kimball teaching nearly split the movement into two parts, into Kimballites and very fierce anti-Kimballites. And the arguments went on, as I have said. And though that controversy went on, Mrs. Eddy kept out of it. She never interfered openly. She never put, say, an article into the Sentinel or into the Journal and setting things right. And because she just saw, well, I have to leave it to the right idea to work itself through when the time is right. And the other interesting point or query is, how on earth could the whole movement, who was reading the textbook day after day, argue on this teaching when the textbook didn't say a single word along that line? That the textbook taught a completely different method of healing. In the whole textbook, she says nothing that there is an idea about which an organ is a counterfeit. The whole textbook, she doesn't say what the idea is of which the organ is a counterfeit. Nothing like that. She doesn't say that the idea about heart and lung and kidney and liver and so on is this and this and this and this. She doesn't speak about the idea of heart and the idea of liver and the idea of kidney and so on. And yet the whole movement really nearly went bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt on that question. instead that they could have gone back to the text and say, well, Mrs. Eddy doesn't deal with this question in this way, but in a completely different way. It must have been a tremendous burden on Mrs. Eddy just to have that certainty that one time the right idea will show itself and will correct that whole controversy. And it is in this period that she could see that all was still relying on faith and on faith cure. It is at that period where, or even long ago, she was writing that article on faith cure, where she said that faith cure is sometimes more speedy than a scientific cure, and gives the reason for it. She says, she must have said in a class, the difference between science and faith healing is this. One makes the healed know God. The other simply heals the physical. See, they didn't demonstrate God. They demonstrated a healthy organ. And we have to ask ourselves today, do we want to demonstrate a healthy organ, or are we demonstrating life, truth, and love? Or are we going to demonstrate the divine origin, as she said in the seventh day? Or are we still there where the Kimballites were, that we try to demonstrate a healthy organ? She says, I am amazed how little Christian Science healing is done. So much is faith healing, little more. And then, shortly before she left us in 1910, she wrote that article on principle and practice, where she points out that Christian Science requires understanding instead of belief, that it must rest on a fixed principle, that the faith scientist says, I can heal you, for God is all, and that all what he does is the effect of a belief, and must be called faith cure. So, at the end of that article she says, instead of faith in the divine principle, the healer must understand what? The operation of the divine principle. Now she touches another tone. Says he has to understand not that principle, an idea, but he must understand the operation of that principle through its idea and the application thereof. And that unless human faith will be distinguished from scientific healing, Christian Science will again be lost. And so, in those passages on the divinity course which she has given in her home, in the first decade of this century, one can see how she was striving now that the spirit is wedded to science. See, first she has seen, right at the beginning, how can I spiritualize the thought of the student? Then through argumentation. Then she saw, oh, the argument is just preparing the thought so that the student can get the spirit of truth and love. And then when she got through Kimball, when the movement got a sense that really ideas are all that matters and not arguments, though they didn't know what ideas really were, but they got the sense that ideas, spiritual ideas of truth and love are necessary. Now she sees, but that is still a belief in spiritual ideas. And so she asks to wed the spirit with science. That the spirit must be wedded with science. She says, when I first came to Christian Science, I was lifted right out of the belief of sickness into the belief of perfect health. Since then, I am working out of that belief in health into the science of health. And it would have been easier, that's interesting what she says, it would have been easier if I had never been in that belief. It would have been easier to have commenced right in the first place than to have to unlearn and learn all over again. Which in a way gives us a hint to what we are seeing today, that we say, if that structure of consciousness which we have been considering through the levels of science, is that structure the end of a long development, or could it be taken as the beginning? Do we have first to go through all those stages of belief in order to arrive there? Because the argument is that they say, well, Max, you can't teach this to the beginners. Those levels, this is something you can teach at the end of your life to your most close students and so on. They may get it. I didn't believe it. I just didn't believe it. I said to myself, no, I'm not going to teach to anybody. I'm only interested in the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ knows it. And for the mind of Christ, there is no stage too high to understand. And therefore, I was surprised to find that it was very much so that the neophytes in this study of science got it very easily. And Mrs. Eddy says, in teaching children in the Sunday school, teach them absolute Christian science. She didn't say teach them first argumentation. Absolute Christian science. So here she says it would have perhaps been easier if she didn't have first to have a belief in perfect health and then come out of the belief in perfect health into the science of perfect health. She says, it used to be easy healing sickness, anything, a man all cut to pieces, but now we are meeting sin. I think that's what we are meeting today. The world is full of good healers in medical science. And many, many very good drugs are on the market. Very bad ones, too. But what we are meeting is sin, misunderstanding, not wanting to spiritualize, because the salvation of the world lies in spiritual understanding, not in healthy bodies. Think what mischief could be done if people could have healthy bodies at any moment. That would be a disaster at this present stage. If you just could go to war and you are shot through and you can be healed in a second or in 2 seconds or in an hour and then sent them again. And you know how people who have a perfect health lose their moral standards, their dignity, and so on. Perfect health, physical health, wouldn't do a thing today. Not a thing. We meet sin. Because only sin, in its broader sense, not moral sin, in its broader sense, meeting that, gives to mankind a new structure of consciousness. A spiritual structure of consciousness. And that mutation of consciousness has to come, or we cannot survive. He says, I used to heal with a word. I knew no more how it was done than a baby. Only it was done every time. I never failed. Almost always in one treatment. Never more than three. Now, God is showing me how. And I'm showing you. That's what she said in 1904. You see how things had to become clear and clear to herself as she went on. And only 6 months before she left, she said, I feel I'm just really beginning to understand science and health.